right. Let's see.
Are we live? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm about to check that out. I wish I had a full-on media team so I could get this behind the scenes. I feel like one of those musicians that are playing like the trombone, the saxophone, the drums, you know, with so many moving parts. Let me see. Okay, I think I got it. But I think I got it. Let's see here. Just bear with me, guys. How's everybody doing? How is everyone doing? I hope everyone's doing great. In Jesus' name, everybody's feeling blessed, healed. You know, healing for our mind, healing for our bodies. Guys, there's no shortcuts to it. We got to press in. We want healing, we got to press in. We want freedom, we got to press in. So many of us want the blessing without the work. I know I do sometimes. I'm like, hey, can somebody pray for me? It's like, God wants us, he wants us to lift up our voice. He wants to hear from us. Let's see here. I'm just still checking. I can't check and have a conversation at the same time. And no, I wish I could, but I can't. Okay, I think we're good. It's as good as it's gonna get, at least. All right. Guys, you know, I was reading Matthew chapter 8 this morning. I don't know if anybody caught my story on Facebook, but you know, you've read all these stories in Sunday school, and then you hear it again, you just haven't read it for a while. I kind of been stuck in the Old Testament for some reason. I don't know. But, you know, you hear about these stories again. I'm going to read it. I'm going to give everybody a refresher for those who haven't read it in a while. Let's see.
Let me see.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go with Matthew 8 here. I think it's verse, if anybody wants to follow along. I wish I could put that on the screen. That would be cool, like how they do at church, so everybody could just follow along. Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. You know what? Let me just take a second and just pray, right? Lord, we just welcome your presence. I welcome your presence into those who are listening, Father. Lord, that we will not just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers. That the seeds of truth will be planted, embedded in our hearts, Lord. That you would seal up the cracks, seal up any leaks from anything that would try to sabotage the seeds of truth from going deep into the soil of our hearts. Father, that our hearts will be a well-planted garden, fruitful, delivering fruitful yields, Father. that we will not be the dry, cracked, thirsty ground, Father, but that we will be a flourishing field. A flourishing field that inhabits all types of beauty. Lord, let your Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would expose the light of your word, illuminate the word to us. Let the words jump off the pages and illuminate our path. So many of us feel like we are just shrouded in darkness, confusion, anxiety, fear, not knowing whether to go to the left or to the right. Father, we ask that you would quiet all the noise, all the voices that bombard our minds, that try to sway our decisions, that try to sway our feet to walk on that path. And Lord, we ask that you would just silence those voices in Jesus' name so that the only voice we hear is yours, the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice of the Gentle Shepherd that leads us beside still waters. Lord, may we hear your voice. You said in your word that my sheep hear my voice. They know it and they follow it. Help us to know your voice. There's so many people out there that, you know, try to tell us that this is what God says, this is how Jesus would respond. And so many of us don't even know it for ourselves because we don't step into your word. We don't step into the truth. And God, we just ask that you forgive us for that. Forgive us for letting other people dictate the direction of our feet. Forgive us for allowing people to dictate the direction of our heart. Forgive us for even just people-pleasing. People-pleasing to the extent that they become the idol in our hearts. Whether it's our children, that we've put them on the throne that is reserved for you, whether it's you, whether it's us putting spouses or work or entertainment or phones or whatever it is that we have put on the throne of our hearts. Father, I ask that you would expose it with the light of truth. What is it that is taking up space in our heart that is reserved for you? What is it that you are telling us to dethrone so that you can sit on the throne of our hearts? Holy Spirit, we ask that you do a deep inner work. Do deep inner work in our hearts. Go deep, 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 deep. Pull it out by the roots. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, so many times we have to, just like I believe David had prayed in the Psalms, you know, search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That is a prayer we need to pray daily, because so often our feet walk in places that bring defilement to us. And it's just like every day we take a shower, every day we brush our teeth. Why? Because we're constantly coming into contact with dirty things, you know, like right now in this season with spring, I'm outside, I'm gardening, I'm, you know, pulling weeds, I'm planting, I'm, you know, coming into mowing the grass. I'm coming in contact with a lot of dirt. And every day I need to be cleansed. Every day I need to be washed. I mean, especially in this season, you should see our kitchen floors. They They need sanctification in the deepest levels. Hallelujah. Like, sometimes I just want to take a power wash or to it. It's like, we just mopped them this morning and already they just, and you know, we've got a little guy who's crawling on the floors and every day he needs a bath because he's crawling, you know, and coming into contact with things. We every single day need to be washed with the word. And I am totally speaking to myself. Every day we need to be washed. The Lord needs to cleanse our mind because we pick up, there's so many messages out there. There's so many people telling us the right thing to do or trying to sell us something these days, trying to sell us on a dream or sell us on a plan or sell us on a subscription. And, you know, we're just like, oh, you know, you get overwhelmed with all the voices that are out there. And that's why these moments are so, this is our bath time, so to speak. This is our time of cleansing. This is our time of washing away all the residue, all the debris that we've picked up on social media. I mean, how much commercials and ads do you see on social media? You're just like, huh, you know, something that didn't really catch your eye a month ago is catching your eye now because of the repetition, the constant repetition. And that's why when we get into God's word, when we get into scripture, when we get into prayer, it's the power of repetition. The repetition is what's cleansing us. It's what's washing our mind. It's what's pushing out the filth that we've been carrying around with us, even from, I mean, there could be words that have been spoken over us when we were in our mother's womb. It could be all the way there. And I truly believe that we can carry, you know, those types of wrong prophecies. And, you know, it takes a work of the Holy Spirit because he sees all things. He knows all things to bring exposure to that. So that way, you know, how many times there's this, we have tendencies to do certain things. We're like, man, and it frustrates us. We're like Paul that says, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, it's so easy for us to, you know, and I think it's great. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great to have a community of people that you can go to and say, hey, I need prayer. Can somebody pray for me? Yes, all the way, where two or three are gathered. But they should not be doing the prayer for you. It should be the praying with you, praying in agreement with what you're coming into agreement with. But that takes action on our parts. It takes obedience. It takes us being aware and conscious of what our decisions are, you know, especially when you've been programmed to respond a certain way and, you know, you don't even have to think about it. You're just like, you know, how many of us wake up, we don't even think about what our morning routine is. We just do it because we do it every single day. Power of repetition. It's the same thing with the Word of God. If we can just meditate, there's a power in meditation that's been hijacked. That word has been hijacked by the New Agers. It's been hijacked by, you know, the other religions, the word meditate. So I think a lot of Christians are scared when they hear meditation because they're like, oh, I don't know about that, but it's so important that we meditate. It talks about, let me get the exact reference on that, because it's important that we, you know, when we hear about things, when we hear about verses, like, oh, it says this in the Bible, we should really search that out on our own. Like, you know, I'm trying to get better at doing that, not just taking, you know, a pastor, whoever's word for it, but actually delving into scripture and seeing the truth of it. But Joshua 1:8 states, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night." When I stop, I have to let that marinate. I gotta let that flavor really sink in. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. It's because we're activating it. When we read it, but when we speak it, that's when the activation happens. That's when the atmosphere begins to shift. That's when change happens. That's when our broken mindsets begin to get refocused. Because I should have been doing that yesterday. I should have been speaking it. Instead, sometimes I just listen. I'll play worship music. You know, yesterday was you guys ever have those rough days where you just wake up and you're just so overwhelmed? You're like, oh my gosh, the to-do list is never ending. Help. Sending out the SOS and flares and waving the white flags. You're like, God, I don't even know what you're calling me to do anymore. This is a mess. You got the right person. Are you sure? Next. I'm going to be like Jonah. I'm going to go just hop in a boat. I need a vacation. What are you calling me to do? But he wants you. He wants to do something in you and through you. You. Because you have something specific. You have a special calling that nobody else has. And so he wants you to fulfill that. That's why he brought you forth in this generation, in this season. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate. See? Joshua 1:8 says, "Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." You see there, I mean, it sounds really simple, pretty basic. Just speak the word, and then meditate on the word. And as long as we're doing those two things, it will spare us from being deceived. It will make God's word makes us prosperous and successful. These are the keys. We want access. Well, we have to speak the word and we have to meditate on the word. Speak the word, meditate on the word. See, I'm going to do some repetitive exercises to get it to really sink in. Speak the word, meditate on the word. Speak it, meditate. Like God really wants us. This is written in a way where it's like, he's like, I really want you to get this deep inside of you. Like, because we forget. If we're just Sunday Christians that go to church on Sunday, We hear the word, we're blessed by it, it encourages us, it gives us fuel, but then we expect that to feed us for the whole week. We expect that one cleansing to be with us, to sustain us for the whole week. Can you imagine not taking a bath for a week, especially in the heat in the summer? Ugh. But that's what we do. This is the type of Christianity we have. We're surviving off of 5 years ago word. We are surviving off of an encounter we had with the Lord years ago. And God's wanting to do something fresh and something new all the time. And yes, there are times we go through seasons where, like Matthew chapter 8, verse 4. Wait, is it verse 4? Let me double check. Correction. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the way and the sea. Ooh, excuse me. And there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him?" And the people all said, "Sit down, you're rocking the boat." That was the song. I don't know if any of you guys know about that. You know, it's interesting because so many times we find ourselves facing great storms in our life. Just like the disciples, you know, they're freaking out. They're afraid. It says that the boat was being swamped by the waves. I mean, yeah, I'd be freaking out too. I don't think there's anybody in their right mind that is thinking that they are overreacting. We're not talking about a little drizzle. It says it was a great storm and the boat was being swamped by the waves. And here Jesus is sleeping in the midst of this. This is the kind of peace he carries. Like, he is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So it's like, it's crazy to me because I'm like, he's sleeping in this storm. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid?" I'm like, are you not seeing that we are being tossed? And I mean, what kind of question is that? Why are you afraid? We're dying here. And he says, "Oh, you of little faith." It's funny because Jesus is like, meet me where I'm at. Meet me at my level of faith. I'm here. I'm with you guys. You know, it's funny because anytime there's like the alerts you get on your phone for like storms, like tornado warnings. We have a son that knows that alert that comes on the phone, and immediately his eyes get so big and he's like, excuse me, I should have brought some water down here. But immediately his eyes get so big. He's like, oh my God, are we gonna die? Why is the alarm going off? And he runs straight to the window and he sees the rain coming down and the thunder crashing and the lightning striking. And he's just like, it's just amplifying it, right? The alert on the phone just started the, you know, downfall from there. He looks out the windows and I have to calm him down. Like, it's okay. It's okay. I always tell him, look at me. Look at me. Am I scared? Am I freaking out? He's like, no, but are we going to die? What are we going to do? There's a tornado. Just like, shh, it's okay. If there's a tornado, we go downstairs. It's not a big deal, right? We love going down the basement. It's fun. Remember that movie, Twister? I probably shouldn't have brought that up. But I'm not scared of the storm coming. I mean, honestly, for me, it's a little exciting. But if I was in a boat in the middle of the ocean, no, it wouldn't be exciting. It would be frightful. But Jesus is just like, he responds the same way I do to my son. Like, look at me. Am I freaking out? Am I afraid? I'm not afraid. So you, it's okay. And immediately he just kind of starts calming down. And then he'll just, you know, we work to distract him, put on a movie or read a book or whatever the distraction moment is. And for a second, you know, for a little while, he'll forget, and then he'll run out the window and then something will trigger, you know, him remembering, oh my gosh, are we in the middle of a tornado? Let me check. And he'll, and then I'm just like, true, you know, it's okay. It's fine. We're okay. There's nothing to worry about. This is what Jesus was giving to his disciples. You know, there's that verse in the Bible that says, learn from me. He wants us to feed off of his feelings, his emotions. And while we're too busy looking at our circumstances and looking at all the wind and the waves and, or, you know, whatever is trying to capture your heart and hold your heart captive from experiencing peace, from being able to sleep in the midst of the storm. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? This is what God wants us to experience. He wants us to be carriers of peace. He wants that to be embedded in us. And in order for peace to be embedded in us, it goes back to what Joshua was Joshua 1:8 was saying, do not let the book of the law depart from our mouth, but we meditate on it day and night. That is our anchor. The word of God is our anchor. Communicating with the Lord is our anchor. And see, the disciples didn't realize that in the boat with them was the anchor. Right? Because isn't it in Genesis, it says, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You know, Jesus was the anchor in their boat. He wasn't going to let that boat sink. It wasn't going nowhere because he's the anchor. Jesus is the anchor in our storm. He's the one that we cling to, that he gives us wisdom, discernment, revelation in the midst of the storm. And sometimes those, you know, all that doesn't come, all the, all the revelation doesn't seem to come. And sometimes we just have to, those are the moments that we just wait on the Lord. And the more we don't feel like pressing in, those are the moments we need to press in the hardest. We have to contend and cling and hold the line, because it's in the midst of the storm that, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen people or if you're one of those people that freak out so much, and you just end up doing something ridiculous to make the situation even worse. You know, it's like sometimes when my kids are trying to, if there's like a jam in a toy or something, my kids are trying to, and they get so angry and they get frustrated and then they'll end up breaking it. And you just did more harm than good. And so if we're anchored to the Lord in the midst of the storm, we are not going to sink. We know that we have something, someone to cling to that is not going to let us go down, that's not going to let us perish. He's going to safeguard us and lead us to the other side. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, that you are our anchor in the storm. Lord, you are such a good Father. You're patient. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. You've never abandoned us. To sit in silence before you, acknowledging your greatness. Sometimes there's just no words. There's just no words to speak to the goodness that you possess, the greatness of your love, the greatness of your patience, that you are slow to anger, and you are rich in love. So we sit and we wait for you to speak, Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, so many of us are being tossed to and fro, panicking in sheer panic. And while we're too busy asking, what do I do? What should I do? How should I respond? Where should I go? We're so bombarded with so many questions. And you're just trying to quiet the noise in our mind. You tell us to be still and know that you are God. Help us to be still when we want to be frantic. Help us to be still when we want to be frantic. Not that we want to be frantic, but it's just the way we respond. All the decisions that stand before us, the deadlines, the to-do lists, all the demands, all the responsibilities. Lord, may we be like Mary that sit at your feet. Let us not be like Martha, anxious about so many things, that so many things are troubling our minds. But let our minds be in perfect peace. Father, you said in your word that the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. So we just command all anxiety, all fear, all intimidation to go under our feet. May we trample on it. Let that not be the meditation of our heart. All the confusion, let that not be what we meditate on. May we meditate on your word, on your truth, Father. Greater are you that is within us than he that is within the world. You are great, and we are great because you are within us. When we carry you inside of us, Lord, you give us strategy, you give us insight, you give us wisdom. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on our fallibility. Have mercy on our tendencies to forget within an hour, to forget daily. This is why you tell us, let this not depart from your lips, not the book of the law depart from your lips. Meditate on it constantly, day and night. Repetition. Recycle, recycle, recycle until it becomes so deeply embedded in us. The same way we can just walk into a grocery store and hear a song and come out and sing it all day. Because repetition, it's been embedded in us. That song that we hear is embedded in you. Know how many times I do that. I go grocery shopping and I'm bopping to a song that I hadn't heard since the eighth grade, and I will come out that store singing that song, singing it all day, even the next day. And then to top it off, I'll get it in my kid's head, I'll get it in my husband's head, we're all singing it. And we always do this thing. If somebody sings a song and it gets in, we're like, haha, gotcha. Gotcha, brainwashed. But that is because that song has been embedded in us. That song has been embedded in us. Or we can just hear somebody will talk about a movie or a show, and we could sit there and give a million quotes about that show, or you know, or about the movie. We could just sit there, you know, they have games like that. They have trivia games where they say that, you know, the catchphrase from a famous movie, and everybody knows what it is. Why? Because it's been embedded in us. It's been embedded in us. And this is why God says, the book of the law cannot depart. Let it not depart from our lips, because he wants the word to be embedded in us. So when we go through circumstances, that a verse rises up within us. We can prophesy to our own spirits. We can prophesy to somebody who's going through something because the word has been embedded in us. And now the Holy Spirit can activate when there is an issue, when there is a situation. Trouble should bring activation. It shouldn't bring a retreat. It should bring activation. I think about the story of Jesus in the wilderness and Satan tempting him. He was at his weakest. 40 days, no food, just water, in the wilderness, getting ready to be commissioned and to fulfill his mission. And when Satan would come to him and say, turn this stone to bread. throw yourself off and let the angels catch you. Activation. Jesus activated the test, the temptation. He activated with the word. He knew right what to say as soon, you know, when the enemy was tempting him. And when we are faced with temptation, when we are faced with fear, when we are faced with what the disciples were going through, and we have the word of God embedded inside of us, then we can activate the word in those moments. And that is, I believe, why so many Christians fall, is because the word isn't living, alive, active, embedded inside of us. So that's why we're all, me right here all day. Something would throw you off like a whole bunch of laundry, and you're just like, I'm gonna burn it all. If you guys see a fire coming out my house, you know we're gonna be wearing swimsuits for a whole year. No, but you know, sometimes the littlest things do throw us off. Maybe it's because we're walking around with full cups, so the slightest bump and we're just losing it. We're just like, what the heck? What is going on? You know? And that's why we sit at the Lord's feet, because He wants us to just, He wants to fill our cup. He wants to empty our cup from all the stress, all the anxiety, all the fear. He wants to empty our cup from all the things that people have said about us, have said to us, the things that we say to ourselves. He wants to empty all of that out. He wants to fill us with living water, living water, living water. The key word, living. The water is alive. Active. Have you ever been so thirsty you just start drinking water? Oh my gosh, the refreshment it brings. Feels like you're just being rejuvenated. Brings healing. The Lord's living waters. It brings healing. It brings healing to our hearts. It brings healing to our relationships. You know, scripture tells us how we are to conduct ourselves and what we are to expect and how we are to deal with conflict. But if we listen to everybody else's voices, they can also, just like the enemy did to Jesus, manipulate the scripture and say, oh, well, turn this stone to bread. Or, if you throw yourself down, won't God send His angels to, so that you don't dash your foot? And if we don't know the word and the season and the context of scripture, then we will easily fall prey and just say, and cling to a manipulated word that is keeping us bound. So that's where it's so important that we keep the Word of God embedded inside of us. I like to fall asleep. Like, what you fall asleep to matters, because there's a reason why scientists and psychologists and all this have done studies, and they're like, here, play this at night. And you know why? Because you're embedding, they're trying to embed things into your subconscious. And then that's what triggers our default responses, whatever is embedded in our subconscious. So what you fall asleep to is it's being embedded inside of you. You're eating those words. You're eating whatever entertainment or whatever you're watching at night. So I try to always fall asleep to my Bible app or fall asleep to listening to Christian content or worship music. I try to keep it, based around God. Because as we go into sleep, we want to be in His presence. You know, the Bible talks about our sleep is a time of instruction. I want to get that exact verse. It is, our rest is so important. So many times, when you don't get good sleep, so here it is, Job 33 verses 15 to 18. It's important for me to get it right because, I do it too. I hear a verse, I'm like, okay, I gotta make sure that's actually in the Bible and I'm not just, there's like an obligation we have to the word, to making sure that we're delivering it with truth and within context and not trying to twist it. Now, I feel the weight of that. So that's why I'm always like taking time to look up the verses, and you should too. Don't even take my word for it. So Job 33 verses 15 to 18. In a dream, a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men while slumbering on their beds. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. So God speaks to us at night. He seals in our hearts instruction. That's phenomenal. That's amazing. So it's so important that as we're going to sleep, we give Him the space to do that. We give Him the room to do that. Lord, we just come before You, Father, and we just ask that You would seal in Your truth within our hearts. Father, that You will have the midnight hour. There is something powerful about midnight. Father, that You would stir our hearts the same way the angel would come and stir the waters, and that's when the healing would come with whoever would go into the water when the water was being stirred. Let the waters be stirred as we sleep. The waters of healing, the waters of rejuvenation, the waters of revelation. Let healing waters flow in and through us, Father. Let it go down to our children, Father. We just speak over our children right now, over every child that extends far beyond the boundaries of our country. I just pray for every child from every nation, tribe, and tongue, Lord, that You would cover them with Your Spirit, that these children will rise up as prophetic warriors, Lord, that they will sing songs of deliverance, Lord, that they will come out of any type of bondage, captivity that has kept them, that has kept their bloodline locked down, where they've only been able to move so far and not get past a certain point. Father, I ask that you would raise up our children to be breakers, that they would break into the promises that you have for them, Lord. In a culture that appeals to their comfort, in a culture that appeals for, that calls to them to be stagnant and apathetic, in a culture that calls them to focus on their vanity, in a culture that calls them to seek out the praises of man by getting likes and subscribers and all those things and doing whatever it takes to get that. Father, I pray that you would wash that off of our children. Wash them. Just as we wash our children when they get dirty outside from playing in the mud, or we, you know, the way we cleanse our children, Father, outwardly, Lord, I ask that you would do a cleansing work on them internally. Cleanse them. Cleanse their mind. Cleanse their palates of debris that has been picked up from school, from music, from media, from all the things that they picked up, even from us, their parents, who have unknowingly, unintentionally passed down broken mindsets, broken ideals. Father, we ask that you would repair, rebuild, restructure, that they will not be a generation that's so strongly desires to be entertained 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That their desire will not be entertainment. But I pray that you would shift the desire of our children to you, Lord. Stir the waters. Stir hunger in our children, Lord. Stir hunger. Stir up a curiosity so powerful, so strong that they cannot contain it, that they will go on a search to know who you are. That they will journey to know your heart, Father. That they would be captivated by you. Let them be captivated by you, Lord. Let them be captivated by you. May our children be captivated by you, your beauty, the love, your goodness, your kindness. Father, help us as parents, as leaders, as guardians, as advocates to be carriers of your character, Lord, that we will take on the very nature of Christ and that we will put that on display to those around us, Father, that your word will be so deeply embedded in our hearts, in our lives, that we will be replications of you, Lord. We would replicate you. We will not desire to replicate the trends or the latest fashion or what so-and-so's got. That's not what we're striving for. We strive for your heart. We strive for your affection. Be like Abel, bringing you a perfect sacrifice that is pleasing to you. And even in your great mercy, you turned to Cain and said, "Well, if you do what is right, will I not look at you the same? Will I not show favor to you?" Sin is
knocking at the door, and its desire is for us. It's just steadily knocking, waiting for our weakest moments to answer and overtake. Lord, may the only knock that we answer to is you. You also stand at the door and knock. You invite us to come and dine with you, to eat of the fruits of your spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Oh, Lord, help us to be carriers of your presence. Lord, I pray for those who have weary hearts, those who are having such heavy, weary hearts. Lift the loads. The Lord says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give you rest. He invites us to sit at his feet just like Mary. We'll find rest there. The same invitation he gave to Martha. He doesn't want us troubled. He doesn't want us doing work out of anxiety and fear. He wants us to do things for him out of a heart of obedience. And we obey because we love him. We obey him because his ways are good. They bring life. They produce fruit. They get us out of being stuck. They call us into our purpose and our identity. The enemy has done such an amazing job declaring war on truth. Declaring war on God's word. When he makes us feel like, oh, if we follow the Lord, that is binding. It's restrictive. There's too much like laws and regulations and don't do this and don't do that. And it's so restrictive. But his word brings us life. It brings us freedom. I was just reading that too. Let's see. I'll have to find it. But this is a really awesome verse. Speaking of weariness, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 25. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And we're speaking about sleep. Oh my gosh, this is such confirmation. After this, I awoke and looked around, and my sleep was sweet to me. Oh, I just pray that. I declare that over everyone listening, that your sleep would be sweet to you. That your sleep would be sweet because it's a time of replenishment. It's a time of satisfaction that he will satiate your weary soul. That he will replenish your sorrowful soul. Ugh, we all find ourselves there, weary. I told you, I was there yesterday, just like, ugh. And
sometimes we just have those days that just seem to overwhelm, and the water just, you know, like a tidal wave, it just seems to crash over you and draw you into the deep, and you feel like, wait, what? You're overwhelmed with all the emotions. And that's really, really the time to declare the word, not just listen to it. And I feel like that was my mistake yesterday, was I was just, you know, and it was helpful to listen to the word of God. And I was reading the Bible, I was listening to the word, I was praying, but I wasn't speaking it. And there is something, there is an activation that happens when we speak the word. We need to speak the word. We can't, even just listening to somebody else speak it, yes, that brings encouragement, but we are to speak the word. We are to prophesy over our spirits, just like David did. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Why are you sad? Why are you afraid? And we can sometimes have the stupidest answer. We should ask ourselves these questions. Why are you downcast? Why are you afraid? Maybe the answer is, oh, I can't keep up with, you know, doing this or doing that, or I forgot to make this, whatever it is. Put your hope in God. And then he continues on to say, and bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless it. He's presenting the problem. Why so downcast? And then he's presenting the solution. Put your hope in God and bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord. We have to speak to our spirits. We have to command our own spirits. We have to call our own mind to order and say, hey, get your head out of the clouds. Stop being discouraged. Stop being intimidated. Stop being full of fear. Stop. We have to speak to ourselves. Amina, you are not a woman of fear. You are a woman of courage. You are a woman of integrity. You are a woman of vision and dreams. You are a woman that is being called to the top of the mountain. We have to prophesy over ourselves. And like I said, it is beautiful and it's encouraging if we listen to other people do it. But our voice is put in our body, in our mind. And there is something when we just speak to ourselves. There is an activation that happens that maybe it's the frequency. I don't know. I don't know all of that. But there is a reason why God says, do not let his word depart from our mouth. That means we have to say it. We have to say it. It's bringing things into alignment. Because you know, your mind is going bonkers and there's chaos erupting all around you. Just like the disciples in the storm. The boat is being tossed and the water's just coming in and they're like feeling like they're perishing. It's becoming overwhelming, and yet Jesus is sleeping. Remember, he is our anchor. We have to cling to our anchor. And I am totally 100% speaking to myself. I totally am, because we are so forgetful. We will be encouraged for a moment and then we will walk out and be like, you know, get back into the situation. We're like, I can't do this anymore. I need some ice cream. You know, we just get discouraged. We have to embed. Embed the word of God into your heart. Sow it in. Get it so deeply in there that when those situations arise, we can speak to the wind and the waves. We don't have to run from it. We don't have to curl up in a ball in the corner of the boat crying and sobbing. We don't have to run around frantic. We can speak to it. And that's what Jesus did. The disciples were right when they followed Jesus into the boat. They also need to follow his example when he just rested in the boat. Just like I tell my son, I'm still going about my day. I am not fazed by the storm that's happening outside, because we are 10 steps from just going down the basement and, you know, that's it. So it doesn't faze me. But my son, it will stir him up. So we take on the Lord's example. He's calm. He's good. He's good. He's not fazed by the storm at all. And he will allow us to go through seasons in our life that everything is being shaken and the fear is rising. All the ugliness is just coming to the surface. You know, the fear, the anger, whatever it is, whatever our response is when we get into stressful situations, when there's some type of trigger, whether it triggers us feeling abandoned or rejected, God will allow us to go through those situations to say, there's something still there. There's something there. You have fear. You are dealing with feelings of rejection. Why are you afraid of rejection? Why do you isolate yourself when you get depressed? Why do you isolate? Or why do you lash out when you get angry? Why do you, these are things that the Holy Spirit reveals to us to show us areas of brokenness. And it's showing us why our heart is shattered and unable to hold the peace. We can't hold peace when our hearts have been broken through trauma. And so the Lord wants to reveal the trauma to us so that we can face it and he can bring healing into those areas and seal all the gaps in our hearts so that we can be carriers of peace. We can carry the fruits of the Spirit. We've all been through some things. There's everybody who's got a story out there. Every one of us does. We just need to bring him to the Lord. He wants there to be exposure, transparency, so that there can be healing. And when there's healing, then there's empowerment. Now you're empowered. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. Soon as she got her physical healing, why did Jesus look right at her and say, "Who touched me?" Why did he call her out like that? How embarrassing. It says that she was embarrassed. She was like wanting to hide. And she came forward and said, "It was me." He knew it was her. She got her physical healing. Now it was time for her emotional healing. It was time for her breakthrough. And how did that breakthrough happen? Her voice was activated. She was activating her voice through her confession. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Your voice is powerful. Do you know that? Your voice, your specific voice. You don't have to be a pastor of a mega church. You don't have to have powerful influence. Just in your own realm, in your own sphere, you have power to shift the hearts of your children, to shift your heart, to shift your mindset. You have power. Yesterday, while I was doing yard work, we're doing this tedious job right now of laying rock down for the playground set because we are sick of mulch. And as I was doing that, I just began, you know, to just declare on our property for everyone in our home. I was just speaking to our spirits, you know, dream big, dream big. Whatever dreams we think we have, I want my kids to have big dreams. I want to have big dreams because then it inspires them. Then if my dreams are big, their dreams will be that much bigger. God wants to release dreams again. He wants to restore dreams again. He wants to give vision and purpose and destiny. Moses didn't start, you know, he lived in obscurity until he was 80 years old. That's when he was called to go to be the leader of a nation. He got to talk with God. When God told Miriam and Aaron that he speaks to them in riddles, but to Moses, he speaks clearly to. I want that. Me next. Eighty years old. Abraham and Sarai, I believe they were 90 some years old when the promise of the baby came. Every moment that you have breath in your lungs is every moment that God is going to, it's another opportunity for a promise to be revealed, for a dream to be restored, for vision to be ignited. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. We've seen that time and time again in scripture. How long did it take for David to actually become king after he was anointed king as a child and was a fugitive for 14, 15 years before, you know, he even got to step foot into the throne room? So don't be discouraged. All those promises that God had put in your heart, all those dreams, they will come to fruition. Just hold on. Keep believing. Keep pressing in. Don't let go. He is your anchor. He is your anchor. No matter what anybody has said about you, no matter what you said to yourself, ask the Holy Spirit to bring truth so you know what to activate in your own spirit. You know what to realign your mind and your heart so your feet will follow. Your feet walk in the direction that your heart goes, that your mind goes. We can't have our head facing that way and our feet walk that way. God designed for our brain and heart and feet to all pull in the same direction. So it's important what we think, because that's where we're going to walk to. That's what we're going to step into or not step into. So Lord, we thank you for your cleansing. Cleanse us with your truth. Cleanse our hearts and our minds with your truth. It is your truth that sets us free. It's your truth that illuminates our path. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word is truth. Let your word be truth and every man a liar. Forgive us for receiving lies in our life, for clinging to that, for holding on to that, for meditating on those things. Lord, let your word be so deeply embedded in our hearts. All the words that have been spoken today that was read directly from scripture, let it take root. Let it take hold. Let it come to remembrance. Let it become the meditation of our heart, Lord. Let it rewrite our genetic codes, our DNA, from things that have been passed down to our bloodline that has left a legacy of brokenness. Father, let your word rewrite our destiny. Let your word rewrite our legacy. Let your word rewrite our broken mindsets. Let your word write out our purpose. What you have for us, not so much what you want us to do, but who you've called us to be. Confident warriors, children, heirs, kings, priests, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is who you've called us to be. Let us rise up to those words. Let us prophesy who we are in you. Let us grab hold of that truth. That is the truth. We are kings and priests unto you. We are sons and daughters. We are righteous. We are in right standing with you, Lord. You have a plan and a purpose for us. We are children. We are children of destiny. We are healed. Our mind is renewed. We are soaring with wings as eagles. We are running. We aren't walking. We are running and not fainting. You are restoring our strength. When we are weak, you are strong. When we are poor, you are rich. Let our vision align with heaven. Let our vision align with heaven. We are seated in heavenly places. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does that mean? We are clothed in righteousness. And just as you shouted to Satan when he brought forth accusations against Joshua and Zechariah, I say that. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you for coming against the Lord's anointed. The Lord rebuke you for your accusations that have been covered under the blood. The Lord rebuke you for stealing and robbing from God's children their dreams, their inheritance, their vision, their legacy. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you for coming after their health. The Lord rebuke you for coming after their peace, their joy. That is their inheritance. That is our inheritance. The Lord rebuke you. Are we not a brand that has been plucked from the fire? And the Lord is clothing you with robes of righteousness, white garments in the presence of your enemies. Receive that. Receive that. Receive that. Step into your identity. Step into your purpose. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. May the words of our Heavenly Father echo and reverberate within the halls of our mind and our hearts. Let it sink in so deeply that it comes out of the overflow of our mouth. salvation is here. Salvation is here. He is here. He is mighty to save. Where you feel hopeless, confused, He is mighty to save. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's stronger than anything you can ever face. May you be carriers of His peace. Look at the storms in your life and say, "Peace, be still." Prophesy to your children when they are in the midst of anxiety, when diseases or sickness comes and attacks them, speak to their bodies, "Peace, be still." Peace. I speak peace in the bodies of our children. I speak peace in our bodies. Peace. Peace. Let it flow like a mighty river. This is your inheritance. This is your inheritance. I got all twisted and turned. That's what happens when I sit in a swivel chair. Peace is your inheritance. That is yours. Don't compromise it. Don't surrender it. Don't surrender your peace. Hold to it. Cling to it. It is peace that is going to give you a sound mind. We get our peace. Cling to it. Let it be embedded in you. Let it be embedded in you. Man, I need to speak this to myself. Peace, 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 peace. Amina, you are a woman of peace. Whoever you are listening, you are a person of peace. Peace will be your nature. It will not be something you possess. It will be your nature. It will be who you are. You will be a peaceful person. You will be a person whose body is at peace, whose mind is at peace. That will be your character. Receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. I really enjoy doing these live prayers. I just feel like there's a lot, you know, that the Lord reveals. So thank you guys so much for, you know, just coming into agreement and grabbing hold of the promises that are yours in Jesus' name. You guys be blessed and continue to rebuild your ruins.